You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Patrick Ewing. My name is the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 315. On today's show, it's the draft. It's today. Can you believe it? We are finally here, and I'm going to talk to you guys about it. What's going on? What are the rumors? What do I think is going to happen? What do I hope is going to happen? At the end of my, I think, insightful, entertaining, informative rant, which I'm about to go into, I will share with you some audio from dear friend of the program, Alex Wolf, who had the chance to interview Michael Porter Jr. for a couple of minutes at some sort of branded Garbaggio event. No, I'm just kidding. It was a great event. Thanks to New Era, I believe. Thank you so much, New Era, for this wonderful interview that you guys are all going to enjoy. After I talk about the draft, it's the draft. It's the day of the draft. It's really happening. Let's do it. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
So yeah, it's really happening. The draft is really happening. It feels surreal. It is just about midnight when I'm recording it. So technically it is today. I can say that without lying. I actually am lying. It's 11:58 right now. But I can pretend that I can say that without lying. The draft is today. Holy shit. And, you know, as I think this is going to be a wild one. I'm just going to say that off the bat. I think a lot of experts don't know what to make of who's going where. Lots of smoke screens everywhere. And befitting what figures to be a wild draft, the trade rumors, the rumors in general are just getting spicier. And for the Knicks, that spiciness comes in the form of trade up rumors. Apparently, the Knicks are one of many teams who are active in trade talks with Memphis for the fourth pick. And what's interesting here is that they are allegedly interested in this pick with or without Luka Doncic on the board. We don't know for sure, but those are some of the reports. One such player that they might be interested in grabbing in this scenario is Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba, adding fuel to this fire, was interviewed in his hotel room by David Fizdale, and I believe their director of scouting. So, of course, the Knicks must have him, right? What I want to say about Mo Bamba is, such an intriguing talent. Such an intriguing talent. I haven't talked about him much on the program, mostly because it didn't seem like anyone that was on the Knicks' radar or that they had any chance of drafting. My question with Mo Bamba, in a nutshell, I'm not going to get too deep into this, is, do we need two Kristapses on this team? I'm concerned with fit. I'm concerned with fit. He overlaps a lot of what Kristaps Porzingis does. Now, you could look at Kristaps Porzingis and say, that's a great player, I'll take two of those, please. And I don't think that you're necessarily insane. You probably are, but not because of that. It's just, it's tough making it in this world. We develop, you know, some things. But I'm concerned with the fit, although there are people who say that he can legitimately guard 1 through 5. And if you do believe that, I'm not so sure that that's true, but if you do believe that, I think I'm okay with this. You know, when he does something well, when Mo Bamba does something well, your eyes literally pop out of your head like you're a cartoon, or like that guy in the small boat in Caddyshack when Rodney Dangerfield's giant motorboat is about to run into him, and he's like, oh my god. That's what happens Mo Bamba unleashes his ridiculous 7'10 wingspan, you know, pins a shot against the backboard that you didn't think he was even going to block. His highlights are unreal. His peak Mo Bamba-ness is unreal. Part of that is his intelligence. I tweeted a little bit about this. But he talks about the game like he runs cleaning the glass. Like, he knows analytics 1,000 times better than Jeff Hornacek. And I'm not even exaggerating. He's someone who has apparently retooled his shot with Drew Hanlon, who's worked with Joel Embiid and Bradley Beal, among others. We've seen him hitting tons of threes and workout videos, although you got to watch that. It's not an actual competition. Something else I'm concerned about with Mo Bamba, he's so skinny. So skinny. There will be KP-esque growing pains there. He's probably a good 2-3 years away from being able to hold position in the post. And I'm not sure how much weight he can pack on, but you can talk me into it. The guy does look like a freak. I believe anything is possible with him. Mo Bamba, in short, someone whose fit I'm concerned with, being a very big, big, you know, pairing him with KP, especially defensively. But if he reaches his heights, his ceiling, a truly outstanding player with generational potential. So I wouldn't necessarily be mad if they traded up for Mo Bamba, but I'd have more concerns than I would with a Luka Doncic. Someone else possibly on the Knicks trade up radar is Michael Porter Jr., who said in one of his interviews that he thought the Knicks liked him. What I want to say about this is he's not the guy to trade up for. Michael Porter Jr., he's the guy you take because you can't pass up the value. He slips a little bit, and you're like, you know what, I just got to pull the trigger here. He's not the guy you believe so strongly in that you aggressively try to acquire him by giving up, you know, any sort of significant assets, to my mind. There are just too many question marks between his health and his, let's say, less than impressive demeanor, just how he holds himself, how he speaks. You don't have to be the world's most charming Rhodes Scholar to be an incredibly successful athlete. Let's face it, right? But his personality concerns me. Enough combined with his injury history that I don't like the idea of trading up for Michael Porter Jr., especially at 4 and other, you know, players that would be available on the board there. I want to talk about Kevin Knox and that hype train, which seems to have already entered the station and left it. But before I do that, just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So Kevin Knox emerged as the newest Knick heartthrob du jour a couple days ago. According to various reports, apparently he's been kicking butts in workouts. Specifically, apparently he's been kicking Miles Bridges' butts in workouts, which I believe. Miles Bridges was not great defensively against guys with size, especially in the post this past season. I know this is going to make Schwinny mad because he's the biggest Miles Bridges stan on earth, but I just got to call it how I see it. You know what I mean? I got to live my life. Sorry. I got distracted trying to think what I was trying to quote, A, and B, what it was from. And it's, I believe, a Martin Lawrence quote from the beginning of quite possibly the best rapper of all time, Biggie Smalls, Kicking the Door. Drew Steele, you've probably never heard that because you think Biggie is a terrible rapper, and just shame on you. It's disgusting, quite frankly. But I do love you, so I'm willing to forgive you. What was I talking about? Kevin Knox apparently sunned Miles Bridges to death in workouts, which, as I said, I believe, because Miles Bridges is not my favorite prospect. And these workouts have apparently gone a long way to convincing people that Kevin Knox should be drafted much higher than the previous, like, 12 to 15 range. Now, if you think Kevin Knox is going to reach his potential, if you do your homework, you talk to him, and you believe that he's going to reach his potential, it's probably worth taking him. Now, this is someone with the 9th pick. They wouldn't trade up for him, right? It's probably worth taking him over a Mikal Bridges if you are convinced that he's going to live up to every ounce of potential that he has. Even though I love Mikal Bridges. I just think he's so perfect for the Knicks. I really do. I think he has more upside than other people seem to think. But his baseline is just so strong, such a good finisher, such a good defender, especially in team concepts, such a good shooter. Got a great head on his shoulders from what I can tell. But if you think Kevin Knox is going to be 100% of what Kevin Knox could be, I think you probably pull the trigger at 9 over Mikal Bridges. I mean, I think that makes sense. Partially, that's because he said in interviews that he didn't really get to show any of his on-ball skills at Kentucky. And I can vouch for that from the video that I've watched. There was a lot of just standing around in corners doing nothing, which is concerning. But if you believe him, you're looking at like a Karl-Anthony Towns-esque situation. Not necessarily that talent, but that kind of situation where everyone said before the draft that he had way more skill than we saw in college, and I doubted it personally. Now I'm looking back. This kid's coming up, Kevin Knox, from the same program. He's saying he's got way more skill. People are saying that they are seeing the skill in workouts. To me, that becomes, even though I'm very skeptical of workouts, especially against not in game situations, like one-on-none workouts are extremely, to be taken with an extreme grain of massive, bulky kosher salt. But, you know, past things have taught us that this could be something, right? However, you know, much like Bamba, you know, Knox disappeared and looked disinterested for stretches. It's another problem with Bamba. He didn't always put it out there on the floor 100%. It's concerning. Not necessarily a deal-breaker, but concerning, right? So with someone like this, you know, keep in mind he's very young. Extremely young. Still 18. But with someone like this who has drifted in and out, you really have to trust your personal evaluation of someone like him. Of what you think about him as a person, how is he going to improve? One of the things I love about Mikal, and I think can't be understated and is getting a little underrated, is how much he's improved. He's already made the improvement that you're hoping a lot of these guys will make but have not made yet. People are just concerned that he won't keep improving, right? So, but when you're looking at Kevin Knox, you have to say, do I believe it, right? And do I believe he's got the personality to, you know, crave greatness, to want to improve, to work hard every day? It's one thing to say that. But when you're working up, when you're getting up early in the morning, you're going back to the gym later in the day for your second workout, like that's when it becomes difficult. And even people who really, you know, love playing basketball on some level, maybe don't love it at that maniacal level, right? So you're trying to suss that out. And that's where you get into a little bit of like snake oil salesmanship with, you know, your psychological evaluations. Because there's a lot to that, right? But at a certain level, you just don't know. You just don't know. Even if someone, and I'm not talking about Knox here, but in general, someone could seem like the nicest guy in the world to just be a good liar. There's a lot of money at stake here, right? If you're smart but maybe don't care as much, you could trick some people. There are a lot of charismatic sociopaths in the world. I don't want to get too far afield again. But even someone who seems just like a sure thing personality-wise, you don't really know. You don't really know. You can know a lot. But you don't know everything. You don't know what is in anyone's heart. Ultimately, Shakespeare made him a living off this thing. You know what I'm saying? People are unpredictable. It's tough. That being said, Kevin Knox, his potential is enormous. And even if he is like a developmental pick, very young, you know, surely he will be a developmental pick given his age. The Knicks have time. So I wouldn't be mad if they drafted him at 9. He was my favorite of those trade down candidates that we talked about with Alex. But he would also scare me a little bit. He would, right? Because he's very raw. He's very raw. He showed flashes, looked great, had a couple of amazing games against kids in college. Will it translate? Does he have the urge to get better? These are things we don't know. At the end of the day, when I look at all these rumors swirling around about now the Knicks love Knox, you know, now the Knicks are going to trade up, I ask myself, what do I believe? I do it like that. I look in a mirror, full length, body length. I want to see my own body language. And I say, James, what do you believe? And if I'm honest with myself, I say, I don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of it. First of all, the Knicks are trying to gather as much information as possible right now, just from a standpoint of who they want to draft today. They want all that info because you don't know what scenario is going to happen for who they want to draft today. You're going to talk to everyone's parents that you can, you know, and this goes for their first and their second round draft pick. draft picks that seem a little bit behind them that are possible because of a trade down, a little bit ahead of them that are possible because of a trade up. You know, they want as much information as these guys as possible. So they're talking to everyone. It doesn't mean they love everyone. But if they're smart, they're also playing the long con, right? A little bit more on that. Let's say they learn X about prospect Y, right? Whatever X is, pardon me for a second. I'm a little parched. I'm going to take a sip of a beverage. It's good stuff. So they learn X about some prospect, right? Now, 3 years from now, that prospect becomes whatever it is he becomes, and certain things happen in his career. Now, in the future, someone else comes along, and you learn something similar about that person that you learned about the first prospect that they're interviewing now, right? Then you just have additional data at your disposal to evaluate this person because you're like, huh, I learned that he likes night fishing, so did this other guy, and it turns out that they were both incredible at working on their game. This is a ridiculous, simplified example, and one anecdotal thing would never prove something. But it's additional data, right? It's additional things to look at to help you make a decision. You might also be offered one of these players in a trade down the line. Or maybe you want to pursue them in a trade down the line. Or you want to pursue them as a free agent signing. Now you know more about them because you talked to them during this process. Speaking of that, it sounds like all these guys love David Fizdale, right? So even if you don't draft a guy now and who's, let's say, really good, like a Luka Doncic. Let's say Luka Doncic goes to a situation that he doesn't like. Eventually, he's a free agent. If you don't draft Luka Doncic now and you're talking to him, although I haven't heard that they've talked to him, this is a free agent pitch. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing that for free now ahead of time. Because guys are going to move around, and they're going to remember how much they like Fizz, hopefully. So that's a positive in your column come free agent time, right? So that's another side benefit to talking to as many people as possible and why it becomes difficult to figure out who the Knicks like. The same thing goes for trade talk, trading up or trading down. It would be dumb for the Knicks to not kick the tires on everything. Literally everything. What could I get in a package if I trade back? What can I get in a package if I trade up? How far can I trade up? What do you want from me? You get more data. You get more information. You get more knowledge. You make a more informed decision. You never know what you'll find. Plus, I hate this word by now, and I'm considering muting it on Twitter come this time next year. But the intentional smokescreen effect is also real. In addition to gathering all this information for legitimate, you know, business purposes, smoke screening is a real thing that they do that has legitimate business purposes. You don't want to pull a Donnie Walsh and telegraph to the world that you're desperate for Steph Curry. It's going to bite you in the ass. Letting people know what you want can only hurt you in this game. You want people to have no idea. And if I know this, I guarantee you that Scott Perry and Steve Mills know this. So, in addition to looking for as much information as you can into these people, you put out as many rumors as you can via leaks, via talking to everyone, via inquiring about everything, and people won't know what you want to do. I honestly have no idea what the Knicks want to do. I know what kind of player they want. I feel confident in that. I think ideally they would draft, you know, LeBron James if he were available in this draft, but I don't know what they want to do in terms of if they do want to move up, if they really see someone that they like higher up. I don't know if they think they're better off getting additional assets. Scott Perry has some history there of trading back. I don't know if they love someone that they think they can get at 9. I don't know if they think they can get someone at 9 that they can then flip for whatever. I really don't know. I don't know. There's a consensus building, you guys have probably seen it by now, that they want to grab one of Michael Porter Jr., Wendell Carter, or Trae Young, if one of those guys falls. And if not, then they're choosing between the sure thing in Mikal Bridges or the home run swing in Kevin Knox. You know, if both or either of those guys are available. But there are so many variables in this. That makes sense to me. Like, that doesn't not make sense. But we don't know. And that's, I just named 5 guys also. Which of those do they really want? Are they really just as good with Porter falling versus Trae Young versus Wendell Carter? I don't know. Do you know? You tell me. There are so many possibilities in this draft. And interestingly enough, there are so many possibilities that I would be perfectly okay with. The only thing that I'm irrationally holding out hope for is somehow landing Luka Doncic. Like, that's my dream scenario. That's the thing that I'm, you know, up on Christmas Eve hoping, you know, maybe mom did get me a Super Nintendo, even though mom told you over and over again that you're not getting that Super Nintendo. And then you wake up, and there's something kind of shaped like a Super Nintendo, but it's like a big sweater, right? So I'm holding out hope, even though I know it's probably not going to happen. Odds are against it happening, that the Knicks land Luka Doncic. But that's the thing that, like, I really want. I don't think it's in play, but there's enough of an outside shot that I do find myself hoping for it. But with almost everyone else, with the notable exception of Colin Sexton, who I'm just not very into, everyone else excites me on some level. Everyone else gives me a reason for doubt on some level, and to varying degrees, but I'm legitimately just really excited to watch all this go down. Like, I was thinking about it, I might be more excited for this one than I was for the Kristaps draft, even though they had a higher pick. I don't know that I've ever scouted a draft as heavily as this one, to be honest with you. And at this point, I just want to know where all these guys wind up, for better or worse. But I'll tell you this, I do feel oddly calm about the outcome, as long as it's not Colin Sexton. But even if they do draft him, God forbid, he could wind up being a great player. I just have a good feeling about things. Similar to last year with Frank, and historically as a Knicks fan, that's a stupid, naive thing to say, but I like these guys more and more every day, Mills and Perry. I watched MSG did a thing where they asked Mills about the draft process. It wasn't anything groundbreaking, but when the guy talks, he sounds smart. I know he's been involved in some things that are questionable. I like the guy, though. I don't know what to tell you. And I think him and Perry and their scouting department, there are so many players who have so many different exciting outcomes. I just feel good about whatever happens, as long as it's not Colin Sexton. And I really don't want them to trade up for Michael Porter Jr. That would piss me off. But I'm just looking forward to it. I can't wait to see who they draft tonight. I can't wait to talk about who they do draft with you guys. In just a second, I'm going to share with you some audio from Alex Wolf, friend of the Sodes, very good friend of the Sodes, interviewing Michael Porter Jr., possible future Nick. I'm not going to leave you with any closing commentary on it. I'm just going to let the interview speak for itself. Let it be some data for you to add to your scouting reports, to add to your knowledge base. And yeah, that's it. Take it away, Alex. Before you do that, actually, you guys are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks.
So this is Alex Wolf from SB Nation, Posting and Toasting. I'm here with Michael Porter Jr. We're here in Lids on 42nd Street. Thanks to New Era Cap today. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. So obviously the draft is tomorrow, so walk me through a little bit how you're feeling right now.
You know, I'm excited. A little anxious to see what city I'll end up in, but I just can't wait for the time my name is called.
A lot of people are trying to figure out what position you're going to play at the next level, because you're 6'10". You have some skills that could translate to a small forward, some that mm-hmm. could translate to the power forward. What do you think your future is going to be?
I think it's just whatever the team needs. You know, I feel like I could play multiple positions, and hopefully the team that drafts me will see that and use me in multiple ways.
Mm. What are some of the biggest strengths you think you're going to bring with you to the NBA, and what are some things that you've been working to improve on?
I think my scoring, how easy I score the ball, and just, you know, my IQ and my willingness to win. I think I got to work on my passing a little bit, and trusting my teammates.
Cool. So obviously Donovan Mitchell took everybody by storm last year.
Yep.
It was runner-up for Rookie of the Year. Many thought he could have also been Rookie of the Year. Do you think if you're given a green light in the NBA, sort of like what he was given with the Jazz, that you could have a similar impact to a team next year?
Yes, sir, no doubt.
Cool. Short, sweet, to the point. Do you have any idea as of right now where you think you might be drafted?
Honestly, I have no idea. You know, I could be drafted anywhere, and that's you know, my situation is a little different than a lot of guys, so that's part of the excitement, though.
So obviously, I'm here from a Knicks blog, Posting and Toasting. So all of us would probably hope that you make it to the Knicks at pick 9, but I saw a quote from you earlier today that said that you are thinking that maybe they might even try to move up to get you. So if you would get on the Knicks, what would be your thoughts about playing with Kristaps Porzingis, Frank Ntilikina, and all that young core that they've built up there?
If they were to possibly move up, I think it'd be it'd be amazing. You know, I feel honored that they would want me on their team that much. And I think it'd be cool playing alongside him. I mean, he's a great player. He's a franchise player, and it'd be cool to play with him and build something special here.
Cool. So how have you liked New York so far? I'm sure you've been around the area for, you know, at least a little bit now. What do you think of the city?
Honestly?
Yeah. Yeah, tell me.
I like being here for a few minutes, and then I'm ready to go. If I played here, I would probably live outside of the city, though. But I love the atmosphere. I love, you know, the fan base and how strongly they support their team.
I tell you what, I live in New Jersey. You can come bunk with me if you want, just for a couple of days. So let's say that you ended up here through the draft. The New York media is relentless, and I'm very nice compared to the rest of them. So what do you think about dealing with that sort of lifestyle here, with the constant attention, I should say?
I mean, I think I'd be ready for it. You know, I've had a lot of media attention just based on my story and my injury and people, you know, question, just a ton of questions. I've had to answer a lot of hard questions, so I think I'll be ready for it.
Cool. So this one's about your family and about your college situation. So your brother Jonte played with you last year on Missouri, and you guys were both early entried into the draft, and he pulled out. Were you any part of that decision helping him with that? And do you think it would have been cool in a way if you guys could have gone through this whole process together and both had your names called on the same night?
No, I thought it was just big time for him to be able to, you know, make his own decision and not feel pressured anyway. So I'm proud of him. But I really didn't have any say. I told him what I thought, but at the end of the day, it was his call.
But would you have liked it if you guys could have been able to do that together? Would it have been kind of cool?
It makes no difference to me. It's whatever works for him.
That's awesome. All right. And lastly, I got to ask, since we're here with Team New Era, do you like fitteds or snapbacks better?
Honestly, I used to rock snapbacks all the time, but I'm more fitted now, and I wear a ton of beanies. So when they said I could have a deal with New Era, I was so excited because I get some free hats.
Yeah.
I've always loved hats. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, one more selling point of New York, it's cold here all winter, so you can wear beanies all winter.
Sounds good.
I'm just trying to sell you.
Good.
All right, thanks so much, Michael. I really appreciate it.
For sure.
All right, that's it for me. That's it for this draft day edition of Locked On Knicks. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you have not already. Tell Mo Bamba about Locked On Knicks if you have not already. He's really smart. He knows this game, and he'll appreciate what we're doing here. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or NBA Injury Report for bonus takes and general camaraderie. Speaking of camaraderie, be chill to each other. We're all in this thing together, guys. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water. And take that. For data. Tune in tomorrow. Maybe late tonight. Who knows? For another episode of Locked On Knicks where we will know for a fact who the newest member or members, you never know, of the New York Knicks is. Peace!